It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and Brentwood realtor Daryl Garrison. And now here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely Saturday morning, and we do hope you can spend an hour of that Saturday morning with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So what we are looking for is your participation. That's very, very important. We'd love to hear from you. And now is the time to call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134, or toll free. You know, Joanne, I didn't ask you if our toll free number was working again. Is it working again? Is that okay?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. And you send in a new added edition, you can call our toll free number again. That is 866-798-8255. Again, that 866-798-8255. We'll be taking questions on just about everything. Of course, we'll be giving you questions as well. So all we need is for you to call 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you that for those of you too shy to call, or maybe you just don't feel like it, you can use email to contact us and we will read them during the show. That email address is mindsovermatter1. At gmail.com. So it's MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one at gmail.com. Also, we are, of course, in live stream at kalw.org. And we should have a podcast up and ready to listen to in a reasonable amount of time after our show today. And that will also be at kalw.org. Doesn't everybody have a podcast? And it will also be at many, many different places, but start with KLW. That's always appreciated. All right. All that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Daryl Garrison asked Santa for a different president than what we've been getting. But it's a lump of coal for everyone. Ho, ho, no.
That's right. Bah humbug. All right.
He thought you meant present, not present.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that we are officially well past Thanksgiving and into December, Lori Fisher hopes you have noticed that his ban on Christmas music has been lifted, and you should be hearing Christmas songs and carols in every store, restaurant, elevator, and gas station. No need to thank him.
Yeah, really don't. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, watched the news religiously until the election. Now he finds it more relaxing to be an atheist.
That's it. Yeah. And that is us. So we'll begin the questioning with Daryl Garrison.
All right, thank you. I've got a movie question here. It's got six. Brad Pitt has had many of his characters die on screen in dramatic ways. I'll tell you the way his character died, and you tell me the movie. Number one, multiple hand grenades. Number two, shot in the forehead by George Clooney's character. Number three, multiple hits by cars. Number four, electrocuted while parachuting. Number five, shot with arrows. And number six, beaten to death over unpaid gambling debts. Multiple hand grenades, shot in the forehead by George Clooney's character, multiple hits by cars, electrocuted while parachuting, shot with arrows, and beaten to death over unpaid gambling debts.
Wow. Dana, what do you got any off? I don't have any low-hanging fruit.
See. What he would in seven, wasn't he didn't he get shot in seven?
No, he lived at the end.
He lived at the end of seven? Okay.
Joanne thinks
he shot his the bad guy.
Yeah.
At the end.
All right.
Joanne thinks the gambling debts is River Runs Through It.
It is A River Runs Through It.
Okay.
Very good.
That is good.
Not an easy one.
Was he killed? I don't know if this counts in the fight game where he and Edward Norton were the same person. No. Did he die in that? Do you remember?
That's yeah. So yeah, Fight Club. So I didn't include that since it wasn't really a real character.
Okay. Oh man.
Spoiler.
All right. I have to think about this a little bit. I don't see that many Brad Pitt movies. Anyway, just go over the whole thing once more.
Sure. Multiple. Yeah. How did Brad Pitt's character die? Multiple hand grenades, shot in the forehead by George Clooney's character, multiple hits by cars, electrocuted while parachuting, and shot with arrows.
Dean, I need help. Was one of them Thelma and Louise? Was that the
car? Oh, wait a minute. He died in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
No, he lived in that, and he
did
alive at the end, and also the other movie that you just said, Lori, he was alive.
Thelma and Louise, they didn't kill him, huh?
No, he got arrested, but he was not killed.
Yeah, he wasn't in the car that went over the cliff.
No, I thought maybe they ran him over before they went off the cliff. Oh, all right.
Huh, all right. Okay, leave it out. And Lori, you go ahead.
All right, well, I have my first Christmas question, not too early to start those, related to my introduction about hearing Christmas music. So I want to know, there are 7 Christmas songs or carols that have had more than 65,000 different recordings. Okay, these are the most different recordings of famous Christmas songs and carols, and the 7 of them made the cut of over 65,000. Give you a couple of guesses each.
Well, got to be White Christmas for one.
White Christmas is 2nd, with 128,000. Very good on that.
Mm-hmm. Give me the question once more.
The question is, which Christmas songs or carols have been recorded the most times? So, you know, by the most different people, the most separate, registered, different recordings of them worldwide.
How about The Little Drummer Boy?
No, that's not. I'm trying to. I have the list of the top 30. I'll probably find it here, but it's not in the top 7.
And I'll do my second and final guess on this one. How about Silver Bells?
Silver Bells, I just saw it on the list, is also not in the top 7. Silver Bells is 13th, so what? No bell on that one.
All right.
Yeah, only 48,000 recordings, not even close.
How about the Christmas song?
The Christmas song is 4th with 80,000 recordings, so very good on that. So we are looking for, you want to take one more guess each? We have 2 of the 7.
How about the 12 Days of Christmas?
No, the 12 Days of Christmas, I saw it floating around here, but you're not getting a bell on that. I'll find it in a minute.
Well, Joanne was wondering about Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Yep, that's the 7th on the list with 65,377. So we'll leave it out there. We're still looking for, what do we have? 4 more to go, including the number 1 that have been recorded at least 65,000 different times. And I probably yesterday heard one of them 7 times shopping in 7 different stores. Keep coming up.
You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. Area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hello, you're on.
Can you hear me from Oklahoma?
Yeah, if I put my head out the window.
Well, I'd like to make a shot, if you will, for the Brad Pitt questions.
Yep.
Right.
Would the one with the George Clooney shooting him be Burn After Matter?
Burn After Reading.
I mean, Burn After Reading.
Yep.
Would that be correct?
That's right. Shot him in the closet. Yep.
Would the multiple arrows be Troy?
It is Troy.
Would the other one, which would be hand grenades, would that be Fury?
It is Fury, Joe.
Joe is a Brad Pitt. He's a Brad Pitt guy.
I had never seen these movies.
Me neither.
I just had a feeling. I'm not interrupting the situation, I might have a question or two.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
What film did George Lucas was the executive producer for that had Kenny Baker or R2-D2?
I don't understand.
I missed the last part.
Yeah. What's the actual question there?
What film did George Lucas was the executive producer and Kenny Baker, who was famous for playing the robot R2-D2, name the film?
All right. Lucas
executive. That should be Willow.
Willow is correct. And then I have one more question, if I'm not, and it's something that you can kind of mull around if it doesn't come to mind, but it might be easy. If I can find it here, I had it written down, and I'm holding up the entire show, but I tell you what, I will call back if I can get in and ask the question a little later, if I may.
Thank you, Joe.
That's fine, Joe. Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for putting up with me, and I enjoy your show very much.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. All right. Let me do a couple of questions here. So, as Lori mentioned, it's Christmas time, as you needed reminding.
Really?
And I have a question here. What is the best-selling Hallmark Christmas card of all time? And I ask you that so you can answer what is on the cover of that card.
So do you want to know the message on it? Like,
no, the message isn't important. Okay. It's what's on the cover of the card. It is what made it sell so much. And it was introduced in 1977, and it is still being sent out at the holiday time today. So this is the best-selling Hallmark Christmas card of all time. What is on the cover of it?
Joanne's
nothing to do with. I'm sorry. Nothing to do with Courier and Ives or Norman Rockwell.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Joanne is going with Snoopy and Charlie Brown.
It is not Snoopy and Charlie Brown.
Will we be surprised? Because no. I mean, my first instinct was Christmas tree or candy.
It's something you would think about in terms of Christmas time, I suppose.
I'm going to presume it's not religious in any direct way, right?
No, I can't say that. Okay. There's some connection.
Santa praying at the nativity scene?
No. Wow, that's combining.
I know. I've seen it a lot of times, yeah.
Have you really?
Yes.
Wow, talk about revisionist history.
You weren't there.
That's true. No, it is not. It's not Santa praying at the nativity scene. I must admit, I have not seen that. But... No.
How about a lovely decorated Christmas tree?
No.
Okay.
So the best-selling Hallmark Christmas card of all time depicts what on the cover? It was introduced in 1977. So see if you can come up with that. And I'm going to give you five show business autobiographies. Remember, all these people are in show business, some branch of it, all performing branches of it. And so tell me who wrote these. I'll just give you the titles. Number one, Filling the Gap. Number two, Where Have I Been? Number three, It's Not Easy Being Me. Number four, It Sure Beats Working. And number five, Confessions of an Actor. So just one each, please. Again, these are show business autobiographies, very well-known people in show business. And these are the titles of their autobiographies. Number one, Filling the Gap. And number two, Where Have I Been? Number three, It's Not Easy Being Me. Number four, It Sure Beats Working. And number five, Confessions of an Actor. I will tell you, all these people are deceased. And give you a slight hint
there. And all of them were performers, not writers or musicians.
They're all performers.
Yes. And we would know them.
You would definitely know them all, yes.
Daryl, go ahead. I don't know
I'll
any.
take a guess. I wonder if it's a play on. It's not easy being green. So maybe either Jim Henson for that one, or maybe Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield. It's not
Oh.
easy being me. There you go.
Good.
All right, good. All right.
Yeah, filling the gap seems familiar. But I don't know. I'm not
Okay.
I'm trying to
Filling
think
the
about it.
gap refers to something on that person who wrote the book.
Yeah, it's their teeth, like a Letterman kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, what is the best-selling Hallmark Christmas card of all time? Tell me what's on the cover of it. It was introduced in 1977. And I give you a list of show business autobiographies. The ones we have left, and these are all performers. Ones we have left are Filling the Gap, Where Have I Been? It Sure Beats Working, and Confessions of an Actor. And I will give you one more question here at the end. Who is the first woman, first American woman, to sell a million copies of a record? Who is the first American woman to sell a million copies of a record and within 1 year?
Barbra Streisand.
No.
Would this have been a single or an album?
This would be a single. Who was the first American woman to sell a million copies of a record within 1 year?
So, Daryl, you might know it. Would it be back in the 50s, more Doris
Well,
Day or
yeah,
Connie Francis?
yes, or Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, something like that.
That's
Yeah.
interesting. Okay.
So I'll go with, let me just put Doris Day out there.
All
She
right.
too. Yep, not it.
Nope.
Okay.
But thanks for putting her.
Yeah.
And
I just saw Pillow Talk the other night on
oh
TV. Was that,
right.
yeah. So I don't, it might be a Christmas song. Who did Rock Around the Christmas Tree? Is that Brenda
Brenda
Lee?
Lee.
You want to put her in? I don't want to take my other guess yet.
No, it's not
Okay.
Brenda Lee.
Okay. Might be too early. Streisand's a good guess.
Okay, the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. By the way, Chris is wondering if multiple hand grenades is in Inglourious Bastards.
Oh, he lived at the end. He carved a swastika on
Yeah.
his forehead at the end.
Okay.
Wow.
No, that was Fury. That was Fury.
We
He
have that
died
one,
in a
right?
tank.
Yeah.
The Germans dropped two hand grenades in there.
Oh, so he did die in the other one, Fury.
No, he died in Fury, but he lived in Inglourious Bastards at the end.
Well, I think what Chris was thinking of was Fury then. But that wasn't on your list. Was that on your
Yes,
list?
it was.
Yeah.
Joe answered it.
All right, there you go. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. So I had a couple of questions, but before that, the caller who called about George Clooney brought another question, very quick question in my mind. What is his wife's name? Beautiful lady, very beautiful.
Amal. Amal.
Amal. What nationality is she?
She Iranian? Oh, she Egyptian.
No.
She's
No, I think she's
Egyptian.
Lebanese. Isn't
No.
she Lebanese? Is she Lebanese?
She is Lebanese. Yeah, but you mentioned Egyptian. Yes, she is a cousin. She is a niece of mine. She's a beautiful lady. Her last name is Madhoun, which her family name is Madhoun, which is my family name as well. Beautiful lady, like yours. She actually filed a genocide charge against Netanyahu. Okay, my real question now about we had this big earthquake, North Carolina, couple, recently. It's about seven magnitude. If seven magnitude earthquake happened on the Hayward Fault, how many people do you think approximately will get killed today, if it happened today? That this part was in the ocean was horizontal earthquake. How many people do you think will
Oh,
die?
Merry Christmas to you too.
Merry Christmas.
Let's
Merry Christmas.
see. Well, Hayward's it's the fault runs through the most densely populated area of
Yes.
the Bay.
Yes.
So, although I don't like to speculate on
Estimate.
how many people would be killed in certain things, but
Just to get out, yeah.
it would be very unfortunate for many people.
very unfortunate. Please, everybody, get your homes, earthquake proof, because it is very dangerous. In fact, it's called the sleeping giant. The last time it interrupted was 1848. It has 140-year cycle, so it is overdue by almost 20 years. Okay, the last question, which is about viruses. That H5N1 avian flu virus is very, very, very dangerous, far more dangerous than COVID-19. All right. So what is the deadliest virus in our society today? What is the deadliest? Nobody survived it. Once you show symptoms, you die. Most of the victims, sadly, are children. What is the most deadly virus? It starts with an R.
Rabies.
Rabies. Rabies have 100% fatality. So when you get rabies, show symptoms, you are dead. Okay, so the Spanish flu, 1918, how many Americans died from it?
Oh, huge. A couple of million, isn't it? No, maybe not that quite.
No,
that
no.
I thought
675,000.
75.
Just because of the time. 675. That's a lot for the Americans. Okay, how about worldwide? How many people died in the worldwide?
3 million.
50 million.
Wow.
That was a whole disaster. That H5N1 may get us there. Now, the H5N1 virus lack from the COVID one feature. If that virus is, by the way, communicate with each other all the time. If a pig or a duck get H5N1 and get COVID at the same time, they exchange information, like getting married. They produce an offspring that have both. What H5N1 virus lacks, if it gets it, we're probably talking about millions of people dead worldwide. What feature?
It didn't follow that.
Thank you.
I don't think we understood that question very well.
But what I mean is, COVID-19 goes from person to person through, touch or air. So it's the avian flu lack one of this feature, which is what? I will tell you that. It's tricky. It's not airborne. It's not airborne. You have to actually get it through touching or milk. It is not airborne. But it is evolving to become an airborne. If it becomes airborne, we'll be talking about horrible, horrible disaster. All right. So,
It. We'll leave it at that, I think. All right. Thank you for that. Merry Christmas. All right. Anyway, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning. It's usually a cheerful show. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And we certainly would enjoy talking to you. So feel free to give us a call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And you can also email us at mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. All right. And Daryl, I believe it's your question.
I've got some Christmas questions. I've got four of them. According to Buddy in the movie Elf, what are the four basic food groups for elves? Number two, what do the following have in common? Michael Caine, Will Ferrell, George C. Scott, and Albert Finney. Number three, Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents is the opening line from what novel? And number four, what was the big event that happened on December 18th, 1892 at the Imperial Marinsky Theater in St. Petersburg?
Well, the Michael Caine question with George C. Scott is they played Scrooge.
They all played Ebenezer Scrooge, yeah. Yes.
I forget where Will Ferrell did it, but the rest I remembered. And Joanne is thinking that Christmas won't be Christmas without presents is from Little Women.
It is Little Women.
Way right. To go, Joanne.
I think Joe said that, I think.
Okay. I think Meg says that. An elf, I believe, it's the four food groups are candy, candy canes, candy corn, and syrup.
That's exactly right. An elf expert, yeah.
And what's left? I'm sorry. Sure.
What was the big event that happened on December 18th, 1892 at the Imperial Marinsky Theater in St. Petersburg?
That's the debut of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker.
That is correct, Dana. Very good.
Nice work.
That's it. Got them all.
All right. All right. Give us one more then.
Oh, all right. When looking at the NATO phonetic alphabet, what Shakespeare play will you see? And to go with that, and what world capital will you see? And what character from Casablanca will you see?
Hmm. And it's a Shakespeare play or Shakespeare character?
Kind of both. When looking at the NATO phonetic alphabet, look at the whole thing, what Shakespeare play will you see? What world capital will you see? And what character from Casablanca will you see?
So is it Othello? I'm trying to think of what would make a good letter. O is for Othello. World capital. And Casablanca. Louis, Rick. Colonel Strasse, probably not.
I'm trying to think of the names on the... like you are, the names on the list.
Yeah.
Oscar's on the list. There is an Oscar on the list.
But I would think they'd want the O to sound like an O, not ah. That's why I guessed Othello.
Okay.
You know? But these are the ones where A is for, it identifies clearly what the mm-hmm. letter is, right?
Yeah.
So it has to be Oscar, Elsa, I don't think would be
there's
it.
Mike on the list, but no, not that.
Victor Laszlo.
Yes. Victor. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
It's Victor?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's for the Victor in Casablanca, not just, yeah. I think I always thought.
Well, I didn't say it was for that. It just.
Okay. It happens to be. Okay.
All right. So what was the other part of that, Joe?
When looking at all of the NATO phonetic alphabet, what Shakespeare play will you see? And what world capital will you see?
So is the whole title of the Shakespeare play, is it the word? No, it's just part
two.
Of it?
It's two.
It's two
different answers?
Yeah, two letters.
Two letters. Oh, okay.
Oh, Romeo's on the list.
Yes, Romeo and Juliet. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, okay.
And what world capital?
Capital. Oh, it must be a European capital.
I would think, given that it's NATO. It's something very familiar, and we know it's not RJ or V. Those are all out.
Hmm.
How about Paris?
No.
No.
There's a Canadian cat. There's Quebec's on it, I think. But that's obviously not. Well, is no. No, I can't think of it.
Leave it out. The audience can get it then.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that, am I on the air?
You are on the air, yes.
Thank you. Is the first record to sell a million copies, was that a question? Well, do I have that question right?
Well, yeah, clarify it for you here. I asked, who was the first American woman to sell a million copies of a record?
Okay, I'm going to say Kate Smith.
Kate Smith. It is no, it's not
America.
Oh, that's an excellent guess. And I believe she did sell a million copies of that later on, but she wasn't the first one.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Good guess.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is that me?
It is you. Hi.
That's great. It's sounds different. It's Tom in Southern California.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hi. Let's see. Is Filling the Gap, that's one of the bios, right? Yeah. Is that maybe George Lazenby?
Oh, interesting guess. No, not George Lazenby, but this person is British.
Oh. And has a gap tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that gave it away.
Who is it?
Oh, it did?
Terry Thomas.
David Letterman.
There, Terry Thomas, yes.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
I thought of him, but I didn't know he wrote an autobiography. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. The debut at the Marinsky Theater would be The Nutcracker, probably.
Yes, it was.
In 1892. And we don't really have anything else. I'll ask a question. Oh, Dana, last week you asked about a question about hazelnuts. And I was wondering if you could tell me what U.S. state produces the most hazelnuts.
Oh, gosh. I don't remember asking a question about hazelnuts.
I think I asked it. It was one quarter of hazelnuts went into what product, and it was Nutella.
Oh, that's right. No, I did ask that question.
You're that was you? Okay. Right.
It was me. Thanks for trying to take my question, Lori.
credit where no credit is due.
I did that. Okay, I'm sorry. What state produces the most hazelnuts? Is that what your question?
That's right. You are correct, sir. Yeah, it's about 99% of U.S. production.
Really? Minnesota?
Yes. No.
Okay. Wild guess.
It seems like it could be a warm weather. Ooh. Warm weather state.
I don't know. I don't know my nut.
I would say Dana's on the right track. I don't know if it's really known as a warm weather state, but it's certainly warmer than
Minnesota.
A lot of states are. Than Minnesota, yes.
How about New Mexico?
Ooh, not interesting guess. No.
No. Okay.
Well, is that California?
No, but it borders California. So.
Oregon.
It is Oregon. Yeah.
All right.
Especially in that southern part of the state, especially southeastern around Ashland, that area.
Okay. Oh my God! And I drive through there.
One other quick question. Mm-hmm. What non-Christmas movie? And this is probably a Dana question. Uses O Tannenbaum as its main theme.
As its main theme?
Yeah. This is probably geared toward Dana. I only recently saw this movie on Dana's advice.
Interesting. Oh, you saw it on my advice? Oh, my God.
Yes. You referenced it a few times, and I was curious.
But it is a non-Christmas movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Is it a World War II movie?
No, but it is a war-related movie, an earlier one.
A war-related movie. Oh, my God, and I recommended it, and now I have no idea.
Is it an American movie?
Yes.
I recommend.
Do you want to tell us one of the stars or co-stars, or is that too much?
I'll give it out and see if anybody else gets it, but John Carradine.
Whoa.
My God, this is so embarrassing.
Gloria Stewart. Gloria Stewart also.
Oh, the Prisoner of Shark Island.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Prisoner of Shark Island. Story of Samuel Mudd. Yes. That's a good movie. That's a good movie. I don't remember O Tannenbaum. Movie. So.
Yeah, I was shocked when I was watching it. I was like, that's O Tannenbaum.
Interesting.
Kind of a revisionist history movie, I would say.
Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was well made, but I thought it was fairly revisionist and a little, the whole thing about the slave who's so devoted to his master that was kind of problematic. But the acting was good, except for I didn't like Gloria Stewart so much. John Carradine was great. I thought he's early Keanu Reeves vibes from him.
Yeah.
Right. but yeah, interesting. Well shot. Yeah. John Ford, of course,
right.
Movie in a way. But that's all I got. Thanks a bunch.
Okay. Thank you very
great
much.
Show, as always.
Appreciate
bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Don't we have interesting conversations on the show? Even when I can't remember what I'm talking about. The two numbers to join us with a question or answer, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134 for a question or answer, or toll free 866-798-8255. And Lori, I think it's your turn.
All righty. I was looking at the states that voted the most and the least by percentage in the recent presidential election. So I'm looking for the three state that had the highest percentage of voting, which was over 75%, and the three states that had the lowest, which were under 53%. So top three and bottom three of the people, number, percentage of people who voted in the presidential election.
So how about for the most, Wyoming?
Nope, not in the top five.
And I'll do one more guess on that. Sure. Iowa.
You say Iowa?
Yeah.
Also not in the top five, oh. So no.
Okay, states that voted in the highest percentage and states that voted in the lowest percentage.
Correct.
Interesting. So did California, is California one of the states that voted in the highest percentage?
No. California is somewhere in the middle of the whole pack.
Okay.
And Joanne just guessed Michigan lowest, and they're not in the lowest.
No. All right. Let's think about that.
Okay. So once again, I'm looking for this three states that voted by the highest percentage in the presidential election and three states that voted the lowest, over 75% in the highest and under, 53% in the lowest.
Okay. An update on this. John and Mark and Chris all say that the NATO alphabet capital is Lima.
It is Lima.
All right. There you go.
Nice. I thought it was the bean, so there you go.
And Michael is wondering if the most covered Christmas songs are Jingle Bells, Silent Night, and Sleigh Bells.
Silent Night is by far number one with 137,000. Okay, and let's see, Jingle Bells is way down on the list, and Sleigh Bells, like Sleigh Bells Ring.
I guess
that's not. Oh, Sleigh Bells Ring is that in Winter Wonderland?
I think. Yeah. It is.
Yep. That's number five on the list with 70,000.
There you go.
And I just found Jingle Bells. He's right. Jingle Bells is third on the list with almost 90,000. So we are only looking for one more. And as a sidelight, of the top seven songs, three of them were written by people who are Jewish. No surprise there. So that's
all right.
Including one of the ones who's out.
Okay. And just to remind you, we have some lines open. Area code 415-841-4134. We're toll free 866-798-8255. Let's quickly go over the questions that have not been answered yet. Daryl, we'll start with you.
In what movie did Brad Pitt's character die by being hit by multiple cars? And in what movie did Brad Pitt's character die electrocuted while parachuting? And that is it.
All right.
I have the most recorded Christmas songs or carols, and six of the top seven. We're looking for one more. And then I asked about the states that voted in the highest and lowest percentage in the recent presidential election. I'm looking for the three highest and the three lowest, and all six are out there. That's all I have.
All right. I am looking for the best-selling Hallmark Christmas card of all time. What is on the cover of that card? It was introduced in 1977, still selling briskly. The best-selling Hallmark Christmas card of all time. What is the cover? And I give you a list of show business autobiographies. And the ones we have left are Where Have I Been? These are all performers, by the way. Where Have I Been? It Sure Beats Working, and Confessions of an Actor. So those are the ones, and they're all very well known. Very well known.
They're all deceased. You said too, right?
They're all deceased, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And who was the first American woman to sell a million copies of a single?
You said Kate Smith did sell a million, but this happened before her million seller, also, right?
Before the '50s, then.
Yeah.
So somebody way back, like a Bessie Smith kind of a person?
Yep, just like Bessie Smith.
It is. What was the song? Oh, that's great.
I don't know what song.
The song is Downhearted Blues, 1923. Oh, so it's been 101 years since that.
1920. Gosh. Oh, that's really impressive. A million sales. Yeah.
Downhearted Blues, 1923, Bessie Smith. Yes.
Wow. I didn't even know a million people had phonographs in 1920.
Oh, yeah.
No, they were a lot of player pianos and stuff, but that's interesting. Yeah, that's great.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Stephen Vallejo.
Hi, Steve. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. I just want to say real quick, since you guys upgraded your phone system, it sounds much, much better.
All right. I think they did it involuntarily, Steve. the phone system died or exploded or something.
We didn't want it to be better. It just turned out that way.
Yeah.
I used to be in telecommunications, so I know that very well. So, and then also the KALW app for the iPhone is awesome. It's so much better than trying to listen on the website.
Oh, is it really? Okay, I'll have to remember that.
That's a good tip. Yeah.
The Brad Pitt cameos, electrocuted while parachuting was in Deadpool 2.
That's right. He was an invisible superhero for a couple minutes.
Yeah, he was possibly the shortest cameo in cinematic history. And then the hit by cars was in Meet Joe Black.
Meet Joe Black. That's how his character died. Very good.
And then was Confessions of an Actor Laurence Olivier?
That was Laurence Olivier, yes. Good job.
Okay. So I have a question left over from Thanksgiving, actually, since I didn't get the call in. What is the claim to fame of Alice May Brock?
Alice May Brock.
Anything to do with the Mayflower being born there? The trip?
No.
But it's related to Thanksgiving, right?
Tangentially, yeah.
Have to do I'm with... Trying,
the name is kind of familiar, but she's not a performer. Is she? No, she's not a performer.
No. No, she just passed away a week before Thanksgiving.
Oh, of course. Yes. And I read the obituary and everything. Alice May Brock was the Alice's Restaurant.
That's correct. That's right.
Joanne got that too. Oh, that's good. I didn't know her last name.
Oh, right.
That's a Thanksgiving song. Yeah.
Famously in the song, he says Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song.
Yeah.
So what was the name of the restaurant?
The back? No.
Yeah. Yes.
The back room, the back.
That's right. The back room.
Is it the back room? Okay.
Very good, Dan.
Yep.
All right. Nice work. And it's not mentioned in the song, is that right?
No, it's not.
Oh, that's great.
And then lastly, the church where Alice and her husband lived, what is that church used for today?
Oh, I saw.
I think they said that too.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
What was it?
Is it a shelter for unhoused people?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It is the Guthrie Center, a community center honoring Woody Guthrie, and they have cultural programs there.
Oh, that's a great, very appropriate.
Interesting. That's a good question. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent.
Good job on that. Great. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We certainly enjoy talking to you, and we do hope you will call and give us a question or answer one of ours. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay, so my Bessie Smith question was answered here. Let me give you something. This has come up before, though I can't remember how long ago it was. Does anybody know the first novel written completely on a typewriter?
Right, well, that was Mark Twain, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tom Sawyer or Huckleberry Finn.
That's right, Tom Sawyer.
Very good.
And on a completely different subject, what industrialized nation has the lowest percentage of its electricity provided by fossil fuels? What industrialized nation has the lowest percentage of its electricity provided by fossil fuels?
Is
Less
that
than 1%.
is that France?
It is not.
And is it in Europe?
I don't think I'm going to say.
I would think it's going to be a very small country, wouldn't you, Daryl? It's just a
Well,
big
I
country.
was thinking France because they have a lot of nuclear power there. What about
They
Iceland?
do. Iceland is correct.
Oh, there we go.
Iceland is correct. Less than 1%.
That's good. They have geyser heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Danny and Sandra in sunny Albany.
Hi.
It is sunny
And
there.
the new phone system is superior. Thank you very much.
Is it? Okay, good.
Is it that you hear better?
I really wanted the first American woman to sell 1 million records to be Shirley Temple for Good Ship Lollipop, but it's okay.
And I thought it was Patti Page for How Much Is That Doggy, but whatever.
Way before.
The singing rage is Patti Page.
Cigarette, absolutely.
How I
So,
think of it.
did anybody guess Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for the Christmas song?
They did not, but they shouldn't have because it's not, it only has 49,000 recordings. It doesn't make the list.
Only 49,000.
Yeah, not nearly enough.
And they play them all.
Oh, yes, we'll start singing them now.
Yes, well, we didn't guess that either then.
No, okay, but you had one, right? You just wanted to try, was it Joy to the World?
No, I don't think it's Joy to the
No,
World.
it's not Joy to the World.
It is not.
Okay.
It didn't count as a guess, but it's not.
All right. So I've got a little callback question.
Oh, wait, wait, oh. God, I had an answer, but keep talking.
All right.
I'm trying to remember now.
A few weeks ago, you were asked a question about actors who had played Napoleon in films.
Mm-hmm. Let me have my answer. Sorry, hold on. Where Have I Been? The memoir. Is that
Yes.
Sid
Caesar is correct. Yes, very
Yeah.
good.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Phew, a bell. Okay, go for it, Danny.
All right. Okay, back to this.
I can really tell you two are married, by the way.
Is that right?
That was a compliment.
Yeah. Well, you know, they came to us when they made Harry Met Sally just to get the rhythm of the dialogue.
Yeah.
It worked.
That's how long we've been married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not
anyway,
even
yeah, we're actually in the movie. You can. Yeah. So actors who played Napoleon in films. It occurred to me that you missed a couple, and I wanted to ask.
I'm sure, I missed many of them. But I wasn't trying to. Get...
These are two of my favorites. In which movie did Ian Holm and Terry Camilleri respectively play Napoleon?
Well, Ian Holm was in Time Bandits, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. How about Terry Camilleri? Is another
Was that the one in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Oh yes, yes. Okay. Well,
Dana knows all.
Yeah. Clearly, yeah. Our Venn diagrams are overlapping.
So disappointed.
Oh no, it's great. It's great. Here's the pop culture writ large. All right, guys. That was great. Thanks very much. We'll continue on the air. Off the air.
Right. Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Okay.
Good work.
Yes, you too can call in to Minds Over Matter and have so much fun. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. Okay, who has a very quick question?
I have one.
All right, Daryl.
We know most of the major and minor film companies such as Universal, RKO, and Eon, but what company was an American producer and distributor of 16-millimeter documentary shorts shown in public schools in the 40s and 50s? They included titles such as Joan Avoids a Cold, Date Etiquette, and I Want to Be a Secretary.
So you want to know the company that
the film, the film company that made all those that we taught in school.
Math is hard.
I do want to be a secretary.
Yeah.
Boy,
no, that's what Barbie used to say, math.
Is it a well-known?
No, it's not well-known at all. Mm. It's obscure.
No.
So
I'm sure, I saw a bunch of those. I know.
Yeah.
Might have shown a few. I don't know.
So, but the name would not be familiar to us at all. Is that what you're saying?
Well, only to somebody like you, Dana, and others that remember watching those over and over. Maybe school teachers.
Well,
I'll give you a hint. It starts with the letter.
I know. I wouldn't have become a secretary without seeing that film.
Starts with C as in cat.
It starts with a C.
So the corporation of, no?
No.
Okay.
Okay. No, I do not. I cannot think of what
is that. Can you give us a hint that would help besides this? Is it someone's name?
Or? Well, let's see if the audience real quick.
Okay, cool.
Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
All right, just read the whole question once more, please.
What American producer of 16 millimeter documentary shorts made Joan Avoids a Cold, Date Etiquette, I Want to Be a Secretary, among dozens of others we saw in school? Mostly in the 40s and 50s is when these were made, though.
Hmm. Well, Joan avoids a cold only by not engaging in heavy petting, so. Okay.
I have a short one that's in Daryl's wheelhouse that we could get to. It's a very short one.
All right, just go ahead and do it.
Okay. Which city in the Bay Area has the highest percentage of people born in California? So the most Californians, the highest percentage of Californians, that well-known Bay Area city. Where do you think it is? And that's 70%.
I'll guess Martinez.
That's correct. Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of old Italian families in Martinez.
Yeah. Well, I figure your realtor life. Yeah, that's exactly right. 70% of people in Martinez were born in California. That's impressive. Okay. Very good. Doesn't give us the corporation making all those newsreels, but we'll get to it.
So voting percentage, Chris is wondering if the highest is Pennsylvania.
It's not.
Okay.
Not in the top five.
How about the lowest being Hawaii?
That is the lowest, just under 50% for Hawaii. Very good.
That's good.
Okay. So on that one, we're looking for two more lows and all three of the highest.
David is wondering if the documentary film company is Coronet Film.
That's exactly right. Coronet. Wow. Well done, David.
All right. Good job on that.
I can kind of picture their logo, I think. Uh-huh. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Michael is wondering if the most popular Christmas card cover is Frosty the Snowman. It is. And we already got White Christmas for one of the songs. That's correct.
We did. It was second.
All right. Okay. Bill was wondering about that. All right.
Can you give us a hint on the Hallmark card? Is there a human or a human figure represented?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And is it Santa Claus?
More than one human figure.
Is it elves?
No.
And Santa?
Okay. Not elves.
Is it, are they religious, like Jesus and?
Oh, angels. How about angels?
Ooh.
Angels. Yes. It is the three little angels.
I can't picture that at all.
Really?
And do you have a number on how many have sold? It must be a gazillion.
Yeah, it's in the gazillions. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. I have two guesses on the Christmas song. One is White Christmas.
White Christmas is on the list. It's second on the list.
Oh, okay.
Somebody else had gotten it, but it's good to hear it.
Oh, they got it. How about Jingle Bell Rock?
Oh, Jingle Bell Rock is 18th on the list, so you don't get a bell for that one. Only 32,000 different recordings of it. Not nearly enough. Looking for double that. Believe it or not.
Okay. I have one question. Who was the female rock singer who was discovered by Quincy Jones in the 60s?
Female rock. This came up when he passed away.
Yeah. Famous rock singer.
This isn't somebody he married, is it?
No.
It wasn't. Was it Cher?
No.
Okay. This is somebody who had a solo career, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In rock and roll, not soul music?
No, rock and roll.
So was it Janis Joplin?
No.
Okay.
Earlier.
Okay.
In the 60s, you know, early 60s.
Early 60s.
Early 60s.
Mm-hmm. So Leslie Gore?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Leslie Gore, yeah. Somebody
That's cool.
sent him a tape. Yeah, that was so neat.
Yeah.
Somebody sent him a tape of her playing, and he really liked it. I think that was great.
I think she was in high school, maybe, when she had her first It's My Party. Yeah. Good question.
Okay. Lori,
okay,
what was
everybody.
The sequel
Happy.
To It's My
Thank
Party?
You very much. I appreciate the call.
Judy's Turn to Cry?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, two great hits.
All right. We done walking down memory lane?
Oh, never.
All right. And Bill, through email, is wondering if Florida is one of the states that voted in the highest percentage.
It is not.
Or the lowest percentage, for that matter.
It's also not in the lowest.
You might as well try both.
It's getting late in the show.
You just said Florida, so I wasn't sure.
We'll count it for both.
All right. Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hello. This is Sandra calling from San Francisco.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi. I have a question that you'll answer in a second. What's the largest city below sea level?
Interesting. Is it in California?
No.
Okay. Is it in the United States?
No.
You see, we didn't answer it in a second.
No, you didn't. I'm shocked.
You have to run out the clock on the show.
Amsterdam?
No.
Mexico City, maybe?
No.
Not Mexico City.
Below sea level.
Below sea level. Atlantis. No.
Yeah, that's way below.
Can you give us an idea where in the world it might be?
Yes, it's in a place nobody's practically heard of.
And we're included.
And that's why when I heard it, I thought, really? Hmm. Well, in the meantime, I'd like to guess the highest voting as being Connecticut or New Jersey.
It's neither one. They're not in the top five.
Yeah.
I think they would be, but not.
We've only got a minute and a half left, so I'm afraid I have to surrender to your question and say we don't know.
Oh, it's Baku in Azerbaijan, the capital of Azerbaijan.
Oh, I'm going to say that.
I didn't almost say that.
I didn't know that, but thank you for telling me.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And thanks. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Okay, time to wrap up here and fill in these gaps in the questions. Daryl, we'll start with you.
All mine were answered.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they couldn't have been very good then. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
Yeah,
you better watch out is the one we're missing. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It has 68,000, so that was the Christmas song we're missing. The three states that had the highest voting in order were Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Oregon, our neighbor. And the three states with the lowest, we got Hawaii, Mississippi, and Oklahoma were both under 53%. And I think that's all I have. Yeah.
Well, you have to be able to read the vote.
Yes.
Let's see. The Show Business Autobiographies Nobody Got. It Sure Beats Working. That's Robert Mitchum. I guess that was the only one. That's the only one. And I'm trying to think, anything else here? No, that's it. Okay, if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We hope you're having a nice Christmas season, by the way, or the lead up to Hanukkah, as the case may be. So my thanks to Daryl Garrison, realtor, and Lori Fisher, who teaches Babble Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones, and above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope you have a wonderful week, and we do hope you can spend time with us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.